Thank you, Father, for the Word. The book of Psalms reminds us of where our help comes from. Our help comes from you, and all power is yours. So we thank you, O God, that you have been so very kind to us. You have helped us through the week. You have helped us to see our sin, to repent of our sins, to restore our relationship with you, O God. For we have done exactly what David has done. We have looked at the help of man and found it to be useless. And we have ended up in some very dark places at times. But, O Lord God, you are our help. And you pour out your saving grace upon us. And for this we are grateful. Open your word to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Hebrews chapter 5 as we continue our study through the book of Hebrews. And it's been pretty regular Sunday evening study. But, of course, there are some gaps in between. And so we've been making our way through probably for at least half the year now. And we're up to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 9 through 14. And last time we were in Hebrews chapter 5, we were looking at this idea of having a high priest. And it's a very important thing that the writer of Hebrews is presenting to the first century church, to the Hebrews, the Jews. But it's also a very important concept for us to grasp. Maybe we didn't realize that importance before. Maybe we even still struggle with understanding why a high priest? Why do we need to know about the high priest? And so that's what the writer of Hebrews begins to open up. He says, the Word of God discovers our condition. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it gets past all of the exterior down to the thoughts and intents of the heart. And we're laid open and everybody knows, everybody can see who we are. At least the Word of God realizes or shows us who we are. And now we understand our sinfulness. And then by the end of the chapter, chapter 4, it says, now come boldly to the throne of grace. And you go, well, how do we get from being laid bare and exposed, our sins, to the throne of grace? And it's because of this high priest that is offered to us in the Word. So the writer of Hebrews does this really excellent job of communicating the idea of a high priest. And he talks about Aaron. But really, his point is, you have a great high priest, and his name is Jesus Christ. This is who we need. Aaron was but a shadow. Aaron was but a pointer. Jesus Christ is the real thing. And how can Jesus Christ be the great high priest, right? This is where he takes us. And he's not of Aaron's line. He's not of Levi's line. This is the priestly line. And so he tells us about this mysterious priest whose name is Melchizedek. And he begins opening up that idea of Melchizedek, the high priest, to us. And he's going to do that even more. As we go throughout the passages in Hebrews, he's going to do that more. But right now, he stops, he pauses, and he takes a break from going any further because he's going to prepare the listeners, or prepare the readers, to hear the Word of God, to listen. He's going to prepare listeners to listen. When we brought Meg home, Meg, who is now 21 years old, when we first brought her home from the hospital, our firstborn, our home was instantly filled with a new sound. And it was the sound, of course, of a crying baby. Which meant that when Meg would get up in the middle of the night, Karen would get up, and usually, because there's this new sound in the house, I'm getting up as well. And it was a wonderful thing being parents, and you parents know you go through those different stages of life. Maybe you're way past that now, but maybe some of you still, you know, your daughter who has a new grandbaby calls you and says, oh, I was up all night. And, you know, this idea of a new noise in the home. So parents, you know what I'm talking about. Our ears were not accustomed to this cry in the middle of the night. And so we're attentive to the cries of our new baby. Will was born 16 months later, and by that time, I was accustomed to the sound of a crying baby, and Will would wake up in the middle of the night, and he would cry, and he was hungry, and I had become dull of hearing. I didn't get up. I didn't hear it at all. And Karen was very attentive to the sound of the crying baby, but for me, it was no longer new, and I slept right through it. All that to say this, the writer of Hebrews is going to stop. It's almost like an abrupt stop right in the middle. Let me tell you about Melchizedek, but first, and he stops and he begins to say something like this. Don't be dull of hearing. Listen up to what I'm going to say. Don't be sluggish. Don't be lazy. Pay attention. This is important. And maybe the people who are receiving this letter had grown dull of hearing because they thought they had heard it all before. Or they had taken an attitude of, well, here he goes again talking about stuff that's way too difficult for us to understand, above my pay grade, or you know, it's too technical. What does this have to do with me? Whatever the reason was, the people that are receiving this letter had become dull of hearing. They had dropped to this low point in their spiritual growth. And the writer is going to take, and we don't know who the writer is. I would say Paul, if it was Paul or somebody else, but we don't know who it is. We know it's inspired scripture. It's given to us by the Holy Spirit, but we don't know the human writer. But he's going to pause for about a chapter and a half to say, listen up. He's going to take time to reprove, rebuke, exhort, right? Words of scripture that kind of set us straight, reprove us, rebuke us, exhort us. We're going to get back to Melchizedek, mysterious Melchizedek, in due time, but for now we're going to have a lesson on listening. So that's what we come to in Hebrews 5, verses 9 through 14. If you would take a look at God's holy inspired word, I'll read verses 9 through 14, Hebrews 5. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. This is talking about Jesus Christ. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Verse 11, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So verse 11 makes the transition for us, of whom we have much to say. There's going to be more about Melchizedek, and if that name is very strange to you, it's an Old Testament priest that has a very brief appearance, and then he appears again in the Psalms, but that's about it. And he says, look, I understand this is difficult and this is hard to explain, but he says it's not hard to explain because it's irrelevant or obscure. He says the reason it's hard to explain is because, verse 11, you have become dull of hearing. So what does it mean to be dull of hearing? The same word dull that's used here is used in Hebrews 6:12. And if you take a quick look at Hebrews 6:12, the word that it's translated into is sluggish. So dull or sluggish. If you call someone a slug, it means that they're very slow and you kind of want to move them on. Okay, let's get going. Stop being a slug. Hebrews 6:12, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So this is not a problem of mental capacity. This is not about a learning disability. This is a condition that they have grown into, or probably better said, something like slidden into. like hearing the same noises each night. You eventually tune out. That's what it means to be dull of hearing or sluggish. Why did Karen hear Will's crying and I didn't? And it's because she is a diligent mother and I had become a sluggish father. But this is not just about being passive. The word that the Holy Spirit gives us in the Scripture teaches us that this is an active laziness. An active laziness. Why could some of the hearers hear and others could not hear? It didn't have to do with volume. Some heard because they were diligent to hear. Others didn't because they were sluggish and lazy. And this lazy man is portrayed in the book of Proverbs. I'm going to read some Proverbs for us tonight. Proverbs 12:27. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. He's too lazy. Proverbs 15:19. The way of a lazy man is like a hedge of thorns. Proverbs 18:9, he who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. It's not just that he doesn't do his work, but he destroys what's done. Proverbs 19:24, a lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. These pictures of laziness. Proverbs 22:13. The lazy man says, there's a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. An excuse not to leave his home. Proverbs 24:30-34. I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. One more section, Proverbs 26:13-15. The lazy man says, there is a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. That's the book of Proverbs. So the Bible has a lot to say about sluggishness and laziness. The book of James has been compared to the book of Proverbs because there are pithy statements, you know, short little statements of wisdom that are given to us. And the lazy man is described in the book of James. So now we go to the New Testament. In the New Testament, in James, the lazy man looks into the mirror of God's Word. And he sees himself. He sees the issues in his life. But immediately he goes away and forgets what he has seen. He is a forgetful hearer. Another way to say, a lazy listener. He is a hearer who, because of his laziness, never prepared himself to listen. Wouldn't he have been more attentive and ready to put into action some of the things he saw if he had been prepared? So we make application for ourselves. How are we listening? Maybe it would be better to ask, how do we prepare ourselves to listen? What were our hearts like when we came to church tonight? Was there preparation for worship? And it doesn't have to be elaborate, but just that mindset of, I'm here to listen to the Word of God. I'm here to listen to make application. I'm here to grow in Christ. Prayer. Seeking the Lord, you know, we take time for that, preparing for worship. Or is it just, you know, lucky we made it tonight? And maybe you had other things on your mind, but you're here, and that's a good thing. But one of the things that we were taught when we were freshmen in college is, you know what, you're paying all this money to be at college. Why don't you be here while you're here? be here while you're here. Something so simple as that. When you're here, the purpose of being here is to hear God's word. So listen. Or was it just, well, I got to go to church, you know, barely making it in. Or maybe there was something that happened this afternoon that has thrown you for a loop and you just can't get it out of your mind. You're still consumed with some conflict, or maybe there's someone here that you have an issue with, and the anger or the distress is bothering you. You know, there's a half-heartedness of coming here, or it's Sunday night and I got to get up for work tomorrow, and that consumes you. Hopefully, saying those things didn't throw you off and send your mind thinking about the week, because I know that's what happens to me. You know, you can mention food and I'll just start thinking about food or something else, right? We do that, but it's a discipline to rein in our minds. Do we prepare ourselves to hear the word of God? The writer of Hebrews is giving us this heads up because we don't prepare ourselves. We often don't prepare ourselves to hear the word of God. Listening is hard work. And when we don't work at it, the dullness that we have already becomes even more dull. Our sluggishness grows even more sluggish. Our minds are elsewhere, and we miss the whole flow of the Word of God. And the consequences could be that we miss everything. You know, we get very little out of a sermon. But there are times when it's just that one phrase, and you hear that one phrase and it carries you through the week. And that's a wonderful thing. That's because the Spirit breathes upon the Word. And so as you're here, there is no better place to be. Don't just say, well, you know, I'm not prepared to worship. I'm not going to go. No, you come and you hear the Word of God with the people of God. And the Spirit is kind to us. He's the one that gathers His people, brings us in. And so here is a reminder for us to prepare, because our benefit will be greater. So in our passage, there are four reasons why this concept of Melchizedek is hard to explain, or four marks of the sluggish listener. Four marks of the sluggish listener. Number one, verse 11, it's dullness toward hearing the word, dullness of hearing. Verse 11, there is much to be explained regarding what the word teaches about Melchizedek, but you have become dull of hearing. So we looked at the word sluggish, which comes in Hebrews chapter 6. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 2, there we read about drifting. And there is a drift into sluggishness. There's this drift away from the steadfast word. To the drifter, church is dull. Sunday school is dull. Devotions are dull. Wednesday evening prayer is dull. There's no desire to dive into the Word of God and learn the Word of God. It's too much work. Boring is a word that is too often heard about spiritual things. So that's mark number one, dullness of hearing. Number two, the second mark is not sharing the word. Verse 12, for by this time you ought to be teachers. So these marks of sluggishness are from the passage that we have. And the first one is in verse 11, dullness of hearing. The second one is in verse 12, for by this time you ought to be teachers. You're not sharing the word. So it's not that everyone has to be a formal teacher of the word of God. In fact, there's a passage that says, you know, not many of you should become teachers because, you know, don't cause others to stumble. There are those who are gifted to teach, but that doesn't keep us from speaking to one another about the Word of God. And that's what this is talking about. More of this idea of discipleship and sharing the basic tenets of our faith and being able to communicate the gospel to others. By this time, says the writer, there's been enough time for sufficient spiritual growth. learning spiritual things, maturing in the ways of Christ. But there has been no growth. And because there is no growth, there's no sharing of the word. There's no discipleship. There's no side-by-side relationship. There's no teaching. There's little, if any, spiritual conversation. And the conversation will usually just be surface things. And there's nothing wrong with surface conversation as long as there are times when it goes beyond the surface. The third mark of a dull hearer is that he is but a baby needing milk. And of course, this is a metaphor. It has little to do with age. This has more to do with maturity. And the passage in verse 12 says, "You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God." So now you got to go back to the ABCs. You have come to need milk. And it's not that milk is bad. Maybe you had a glass of milk today. We still enjoy milk. But by this time, there should be solid food. So yes, you can go back to the milk, and the milk is good, but you need solid food. You get the picture. It's good for babies to drink milk. That's pretty much all they have for the first few months. It's easily digested. It prepares their bodies to eat solid food. There's nothing wrong with babies drinking only milk. But imagine a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old, who's only had milk. Their growth is stunted. There's the problem. As we grow, we need more. We need that solid food. The underdeveloped hearer, this is what Hebrews is talking about, the underdeveloped hearer whose growth is stunted is now being reproved for his inability to eat the meat of the Word. By this time, you should be advanced enough to eat meat. And what is he talking about? He's talking about Melchizedek. You should be able to handle this discussion of Melchizedek. And it's okay if it's the first time you hear it, but when you hear it, you start to put the pieces together and you can understand why Jesus Christ is a great high priest according to the order of Melchizedek and why that is so important. But instead, you need remedial training. So that's the third mark. The fourth mark is found in verse 14. And this is about discernment. This person, the fourth mark in verse 14, is this person cannot skillfully use the Word of God. You've met people like this. They take verses out of context and they make it to mean what they want it to mean. And they're not skillful at it. They're not discerning. They just kind of throw things together and it sounds spiritual, but it's not. So verse 14 says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So there's that repetition, reason of use, senses exercise. There's that using of what we have learned and applying it to our lives. This spiritual baby, because of his stunted growth, has not exercised discernment. That's what this is. This fourth mark is being unskilled in the word of righteousness. Their application of the word is spotty. They're not listening as they ought. Right living comes from a right understanding or right thinking about the Word of God. But thinking and meditating and applying has not taken place as it ought to have been. So there is a problem with the dull hearer. Four marks of the dull hearer from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 9 through 14. He's not interested in the Word. He cannot teach the Word. He can only handle the milk of the Word, and he cannot skillfully apply the Word. So what's the opposite of dull? Sharp, right? The boys in our church love their pocket knives, right?
And this week, Sam, guess what he was doing? He was sharpening his knives, sharpening his axe, sharpening his machete, and takes it into the garden to chop away, right? But that's the idea. Instead of dullness, there should be a sharpness. You get the point, right? We can understand the concepts and make application. The opposite of sluggish, think of that slug moving slowly. The opposite of sluggishness is quick. Someone who is a quick learner is someone who actively listens and is able to put into practice what he has learned. And remember, the problem of sluggishness was not a learning disability. This is not something, well, he's just a natural, because for all of us, it's unnatural. This passage is telling us that discernment must be developed. So there are those who are drifting into dullness, and to counter that, we must work against that flow, against that current, to become not dull. To become sharp. Sharpen us. And if you looked at the Puritan prayer this evening, there was a line about, give us no low estimation of our religious privileges. Oh, you know, I don't have that much. You have the Spirit of God living in you. Oh, you know, I don't have the same gift that they have. You have every spiritual gift, right? Ephesians 1. Every spiritual gift is ours in Christ. Or, in the Puritan prayer, it says, or failure to use them to our advantage. We have all of these gifts and we fail to use them to our advantage. But understand this, before we get too far away, I want us to understand that there are some who cannot hear the Word of God because they are dead in their sins. Their dullness of hearing is from their spiritual deadness. Spiritually opened ears are given only to those who have put their faith in Christ. So if you have not believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection, then all your preparation will be in vain. Regeneration must come first, right? What is faith in Jesus Christ? This is from tonight's catechism. Faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation, as He has offered to us in the gospel. And this is where we're given ears to hear. Faith in Christ is the only way to have ears to hear. That's for the unbeliever. But there are Christians who have become dull of hearing, and here is exhortation, here is rebuke, here is reproof. How to remedy this dullness that maybe we've slid into. So the first mark, now we'll have four marks of those who are not dull. We had four marks of dull listener. Now here are four marks of the not dull. Number one, and they're just the opposites of the first four. So you can probably look at, if you have a list, you can figure it out. The first one is diligence toward hearing the word. Verse 11 says, you have become dull of hearing. So to fight that requires diligence. To be sharp, there should be a great desire to dive in and learn the Word of God. Read the Word. Pray. Ask God for help. Ask God for desire. Because sometimes we just don't feel like it. Ask for understanding, because there are times we're reading and we're like, I just don't get it. Church is not boring. Learn from the Word of God. Studying the Word, reading the Word, it's not boring. Don't let that Word become what characterizes everything that has to do with growth in Christ. Unless we are providentially hindered, right? Those of you that are members, this is part of what we pledge together, that unless we are providentially hindered, we will be with God's people learning the Word of God. There is so much to learn about our great and awesome God. We're diving deep into God's Word. So we ask for desire. We ask for understanding. We read the Word and we stick with it. So that's the first mark, is that diligence.
Number two, the second mark of a not dull hearer is that he shares the word. He talks about the word. Verse 12, for by this time you ought to be teachers. And so the not dull hearer does that. We can't hold it in, right? It just comes out in natural conversation. We find delight in speaking about the things of God. We find delight in speaking about godly things. And there are times when we don't even mean to be teaching, but our lives are just shining brighter and brighter and brighter. And you've met people like this. Their lives are so bright with the Word of God. They just can't help point you to Christ when you talk to them. The light of the Lord radiates from them. By this time, says the text, that indicates that there's been time for growth, time for learning, time for maturing. As if you're a brand new Christian, this will come. You'll learn more of the Word of God, and you'll learn to put aside some of those things that are just milk. Well, not don't put it aside, but you move beyond the milk into the deep things of God, the meat of the Word. And we will grow sharper as we redeem the time. Redeeming the time. For many, there is growth. And because there is growth, there is sharing of the Word of God. There are these side-by-side relationships. There are these discipleship relationships. And teaching is taking place formally and informally. Sharing the Word. The third mark. The third mark of a diligent hearer is that he has matured. And he eats solid food. So the ABCs of the Word are precious. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ are precious. This is something we never leave behind, but we move from there. And we understand more about the resurrection power of God. And we understand more about His ascension. And we understand more about His dominion over all things, His sovereignty. So although we enjoy the milk, we advance to the solid food of the Word of God. And we're excited to learn about the offices of Christ. That He is prophet, priest, and king. Things that we're studying in the book of Hebrews. We don't throw theology aside. So we learn things about soteriology, right? The doctrine of salvation. And we learn different bits of theology. Because it's not unnecessary, it's not irrelevant. We believe that the Word of God is alive and powerful. We experience joy as we know our Savior more intimately. We know more and more of the power of God, Ephesians chapter 1, that you may know the power of God. We learn the benefits of meditating on the Word of God, hiding it in our hearts. There's no stunted growth in this believer. They're tall and strong, Psalm 1, like a tree that grows by the riverside whose roots go down deep and they're just sucking in all of that living water and they're fruitful and green and strong, whose leaf does not wither and whatever he does prospers. Psalm 1, spiritual growth. Mark number 4. The fourth mark is found in verse 14, and this talks about skillfully using the Word of God. Verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, this spiritually mature believer, because of his growth, because of his exercising what he has learned, he is now one who is good at discernment. He's learned how to discern. He's not unskilled in the word of righteousness. This Christian listens well and applies well. Right living comes from that right thinking about who God is and what the Word of God says. We think on the things of God. We meditate on the things of God. We apply the Word of God. That's what happens in the life of this diligent hearer. So here we are in Hebrews, and we've come to Melchizedek, this deep discussion about some obscure Old Testament priest. So what the writer of Hebrews does is he prepares us to hear. He reproves, rebukes, exhorts. He corrects. Don't be a dull hearer. Be a diligent hearer. The dull hearer is uninterested in the word. He doesn't and cannot. He does not and cannot teach the word. He can only handle milk. He can't skillfully apply the word of God. But there is growth for the diligent hearer. He is greatly interested in the word of God. He teaches the word of God. It flows right out of him. He loves the milk and the solid food. And he skillfully applies the word in discernment. So the writer pauses here to encourage us to be diligent hearers of the word, growing up in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this bit of reproof tonight, because some of us maybe we're growing dull of hearing. Lord, may it not be so. But Lord, let us find joy in your word and become explorers of your word, the depth of your word. Remind us again and again of the joy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the saving grace that is found in him. But also take us deeper, O Lord, so that we might become those who are discerning and those who teach the word of God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.